The following are two reviews of the classic book by Walter Youngquist titled Geodestinies, The Inevitable Control of Earth's Resources Over Nations and Individuals. And this was originally published, well, an early version was published as Mineral Resources and the Destinies of Nations, published in 1990. And then Geodestinies was published in 1997. And so, and I'll also be reading the revised and edited 2012 edition that hasn't been officially published yet. But this is just one of the classic books of the 20th century in terms of our relationship to primary reality. That is, those aspects of reality that are necessary for human survival and thrival and the evolution of civilizations. This book is considered absolutely one of the 20th century's classics. And the reason I'm recording it, with the permission of both Dr. Youngquist and Social Contract, which has the rights, I believe, for the edited version, is because this book is just way too important to not be available in an audio format. So this is an unofficial audio. I'm not in a professional studio, and I'll occasionally, I'm sure, mispronounce words and stumble and that sort of thing. But so here are two reviews of Walter Youngquist's Geodestinies. The first is from Amazon, actually. It's written by Kenneth Watt, W-A-T-T, at the University of California in Davis. And this is from Amazon. He says, a uniquely important and interdisciplinary text. This review was originally published in the journal Evolution and Ecology. This book is intended as a completely interdisciplinary undergraduate text demonstrating the causal linkages through which the amount and value per unit of geological resources produced in a nation affects the value of the currency and the health, the economic health, and political power. While some of the content will be familiar to readers of this journal, there is nothing in existence like it, and the best-informed living people would find at least a quarter of the book a complete surprise. The book links geological resources of nations, history, economics, political science, international relations, culture, and religion like nothing else I have ever seen. Despite Gibbon, Spengler, and many others, none has yet put forth a completely satisfactory theory of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. This author, Dr. Youngquist, shows how Roman power depended on gold and silver from various sources, e.g. Greece and Spain, and how when supplies ran out, the coinage was debased and Rome could no longer afford the costs of keeping the empire intact, e.g. mercenaries who fought for money, not patriotism. Margaret Thatcher was the most popular leader in modern British history. Her power depended on surplus foreign exchange from exporting North Sea oil. The U.S. dollar and international prestige increase and decrease in value depending on the amount of oil imported and the price per barrel. One particularly gripping part of this book is a 64-page treatment of proposed new alternative energy sources. All these imaginary panaceas turn to mists in a swamp at night when examined with the lenses of net energy and energy profit ratios. Nothing will replace what we are burning up quickly now. Every possible replacement has problems which have received little publicity. All through history, there have been two responses to mineral wealth. One is to regard it as an infinite cornucopia and create nothing of permanent value to outlast the minerals. Alaska is a startling example. A century from now, it will be like it was a century ago. The other alternative is to recognize that a storage is being converted to a flow and try to convert some of the flow to another storage. The author discusses what Stanford, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Rhodes, and Guggenheim did with their wealth from mineral resources. My life was profoundly affected by two of these men, so the argument hit me. The pattern is that governments do not have a good track record of managing depleting storages. Individual wise people do very well at that job. Of particular interest to readers of this journal will be the minerals economics. Huge time lags separate the time when money is spent on mineral projects to the time when major profits appear. Income first began to flow from the Prudhoe Bay oil field 30 years after the first money was spent on exploration. The risk-to-reward ratio is very high, and political instability in a country with great potential oil resources may be unacceptable. Taxing reserves discourages exploration. The author relates the oil business to natural capital. This book, together with many other recent writings, recent government statistics on the oil business, 62% of all U.S. oil is imported, that percentage is rising 3% a year, and the wild recent gyrations in earnings and share values of companies in the oil field service industry are doubtless early warning indicators of huge price increases in oil within a few years. The implications are pervasive, very far-reaching, and very serious. The following review of Walter Youngquist's book Geodestinies, the original 1997 version, was written by Eric Thurston, and I found this on a website titled oilcrisis.com, written in the year 2000. A review of Walter Youngquist's Geodestinies, the inevitable control of Earth resources over nations and individuals. The only geography course that I remember having in my educational career was in the fifth or sixth grade. I still remember world maps with little symbols standing for various minerals, tin in Bolivia, silver in Mexico, iron in Minnesota, and so on. To an 11-year-old, these facts were merely another boring part of getting through school. Now, years later, it is becoming apparent how short our educational system is in areas of vast importance such as geography and history. Geodestinies, originally published in 1997, is an amazingly thorough review for a 500-page book of connections between the geology of the planet and the history of the human race. The style of the book is one that uses relatively short bulleted paragraphs for each topic and an extensive list of references following each chapter, making for fairly easy reading. The first 10 chapters seem redundant in some places because he goes down lists of countries that have given types of mineral resources and the several different ways these resources affect their political and social standing. But seen in the context of the whole, it makes the book all the more comprehensive in its perspective. The definition of mineral resources is defined right at the beginning to include fossil fuel resources, water, and topsoil, as well as the elements that we normally associate with the term mineral. Petroleum is given proportionately more attention than the other minerals because of its key role in supporting the civilizations on the planet today. As with the other minerals, he discusses the history of black gold and the role it has played in the development of our society and its role in the several wars of this century. With petroleum, there are many charts and graphs illustrating various aspects of the supply and usage picture. There are chapters on alternative energy sources, both non-renewable and renewable, topsoil, water, and even a chapter on minerals and health. Altogether, it is a treasure trove of information. I'll mention just a few things that stuck in my mind after finishing the book, and then list the table of contents headings below. The nations that come the closest to being the most self-sufficient in overall mineral resources, if not the technology to use them, are, not surprisingly, Russia, the United States, and China, in roughly that order, depending on the particular resource. Obviously, the Middle East nations of the Persian Gulf are at the top of the heap in petroleum reserves. The USA has the most accessible coal reserves, Wyoming and Montana being the states with the major deposits. For the immediate future of the next few decades, it looks like coal and nuclear fission power are the most likely candidates for energy production. Water and topsoil may prove in the long run more limiting than energy resources. The major impression is that we have a dependency on non-renewable mineral resources that is going to place an absolute limit to the number of people this planet can support. Youngquist discusses, in a balanced and matter-of-fact way, the development of mineral resources and how we have become dependent on them. In a section about the development of future petroleum reserves in the United States, for example, he notes that the many dire predictions of environmental disasters resulting from the construction of the Alaska pipeline and the Prudhoe Bay production facilities did not come to pass, implying that further development in that area could very likely be carried out also without dire environmental problems. He does not, however, pull any punches in continuously raising the obvious questions about the bind the human race has gotten itself into with the current population level, the rate of resource usage, and the continuing growth of population. I definitely recommend this book as a read for anyone interested in the future of the human race. Eric Thurston. And I'll go ahead and just read the 29 chapters of the original book. There's 30 chapters in this edited 2012 version. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Minerals Move Civilization. Chapter 2, Minerals Move People. Chapter 3, Minerals and War and Economic and Political Warfare. Chapter 4, The Gulf War of 1990-91, Iraq Invades Kuwait. Chapter 5, The Current War Between the States. Chapter 6, Mineral Microcosms. Chapter 7, The One Resource Nations. Chapter 8, The Good Geofortune of the United States of America. Chapter 9, The Extraordinary Geodestiny of Saudi Arabia and Other Persian, Arabian, Gulf Countries. Chapter 10, Mineral Riches and How They Are Spent. Chapter 11, Minerals, Money, and the Petrocurrencies. Chapter 12, The Petroleum Interval. Chapter 13, Alternative Energy Sources, Non-Renewable. Chapter 14, Alternative Energy Sources, Renewable. Chapter 15, Water, Life's Essential Connection to the Earth. Chapter 16, Minerals from the Ocean. Chapter 17, Topsoil, the most Valuable Mineral Complex. Chapter 18, Minerals and Health. Chapter 19, Strategic Minerals. How strategic are they? Chapter 20, Nations and Mineral Self-Sufficiency. Chapter 21, International Access to Minerals, Free Trade versus the Map of Geology. Chapter 22, Mineral Development and the Environment. Chapter 23, Efficiency and Conservation, to what purpose? Chapter 24, Minerals, Politics, Taxes, and Religion. Chapter 25, Minerals, Social and Political Structures. Chapter 26, Mineral Economics. Chapter 27, Myths and Realities of Mineral Resources. Chapter 28, Earth Resources, the Future, and the quote-unquote sustainable society. And chapter 29, The Ultimate Resource, Can It Secure Our Future? And here's a short bio of Walter Youngquist. Dr. Walter Youngquist is a professor emeritus of geology at the University of Oregon and an eminent authority on energy issues. Dr. Youngquist is the author of Geodestinies, The Inevitable Control of Earth Resources Over Nations and Individuals. He has worked as a researcher, advisor, and consultant to more than 70 countries, including work for Exxon Corporation, Sun Oil, Shell Oil, and Emeco. Dr. Youngquist is an emeritus member of the American Association of Petroleum Geologists, the AAPG, and a fellow of the Geological Society of America and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. He received his PhD in geology from the University of Iowa.